Walks in, laughs.
Do indeed. I spent last week telling you 10 was perfect when we were only at 9. This is what happens when you teach the same material for 40 years, the chapters blur together.
All right. This is 10.
The real 10.
And it's a big one.
Sets down coffee.
We've built up a lot of machinery.
Memory.
Error correction.
Scaffolds.
Replication.
Constraint recycling.
At this point, you might be thinking, we've explained life.
Right?
Replication exists, memory can be inherited, stability can copy itself.
That's life.
Chapter closed.
Not so fast. Today we're going to talk about why chemistry is necessary for all of this, but why chemistry isn't enough. Why you can't just point at molecules and say there's life.
This distinction matters.
A lot.
Leans on the podium.
Let's start with what chemistry actually provides. Because chemistry gives us something that physics alone doesn't.
Physics gives us fields and forces and continuous quantities.
Stuff that blurs into other stuff.
Chemistry gives us discrete units.
Atoms.
Molecules.
Things with distinct identities that either react or don't.
You either have a carbon atom or you don't.
It's not a continuous gradient of carbonness.
Chemistry gives us selective interactions.
This molecule bonds with that one but not with the other.
Their specificity.
Lock and key.
Recognition.
Chemistry gives us energy landscapes.
Some configurations are more stable than others.
There are hills and valleys that guide where things end up.
Chemistry gives us conditional bonds.
Connections that form under certain conditions and break under others.
Reversibility.
Flexibility.
Starts pacing.
These properties are essential for everything we've talked about.
You want complex constraint networks?
You need discrete units that interact selectively.
You need molecules that can assemble into patterns.
You want reversible assembly?
You need bonds that can form and break without destroying everything.
You want localized correction?
You need specificity.
This enzyme recognizes this error and fixes this problem, not everything everywhere.
You want modular organization?
You need components that can be rearranged without melting into each other.
Without chemistry, scaffolds can't form at sufficient density.
The substrate is too sparse.
The specificity isn't there.
Chemistry is the enabling layer.
The foundation on which organization can build.
Stops, turns serious.
But here's the trap.
Chemistry allows many, many reactions.
Most of them lead nowhere.
Most molecular configurations collapse.
Or react destructively.
Or dissipate.
Or just fail to maintain any coherent pattern.
Think about what happens when you mix random chemicals together.
Most of the time, chaos.
Degradation.
Equilibrium.
The chemicals find their lowest energy state and sit there.
Occasionally something interesting happens.
But occasionally is doing a lot of work.
Most of chemistry is, frankly, boring.
Or violent.
Or both.
Chemical richness increases possibility.
It doesn't increase persistence.
The vast majority of chemistry is dead on arrival.
Walks to the window.
So what's missing?
If chemistry is necessary but not sufficient, what else do you need?
The answer is managed constraint.
Life requires boundaries that persist, not just any membrane, but membranes that maintain themselves, that repair, that regulate what crosses them.
Life requires flows that are regulated, not just energy moving around, but energy channeled purposefully, extracted and deployed where it's needed.
Life requires reactions that are sequenced, not just chemicals reacting, but reactions happening in the right order, at the right time, in the right place.
Life requires errors that are corrected, not just molecular noise, but detection and repair.
Life requires replication that is stabilized, not just copying, but faithful copying.
Turns back to the class.
Here's the key insight.
These aren't chemical properties. They're organizational achievements implemented chemically. The chemistry provides the substrate. But the organization is something else. It's a pattern in the chemistry that uses the chemistry to maintain itself. It's the difference between having a pile of bricks and having a house. The bricks are necessary. But the house is something beyond the bricks. It's an arrangement of bricks that serves functions the individual bricks don't have. Chemistry gives you bricks. Organization gives you architecture. Sit on the desk. Let me give you a concrete example, metabolism. Why does metabolism exist? What is it for? The usual answer is energy. Organisms need energy to do stuff. That's true but shallow. Here's the deeper answer, replication without internal regulation fails. Think about what happens when you try to copy a complex structure. The copying machinery needs to be powered. Damage happens and needs to be repaired. Gradients have to be maintained, concentrations of this molecule here, that molecule there. Noise has to be buffered. Without all of that, replication accelerates collapse. You're not just copying the pattern, you're copying errors, copying damage, copying drift. Each generation is worse than the last. Metabolism isn't about energy use. It's about keeping constraints intact. It's the maintenance system that allows replication to work. The support structure that keeps the copying machinery functional. Stands up. Here's another one, boundaries. Why do cells have membranes? Why is there an inside and an outside? Organization cannot survive if it leaks uncontrollably. If your internal chemistry is constantly mixing with the external environment, you can't maintain specialized conditions inside. You can't keep concentration stable. You can't isolate delicate processes from external noise. Boundaries reduce interference. They localize failure. If something goes wrong inside, it doesn't immediately affect everything outside. They allow selective exchange. You can let this molecule in and keep that one out. Chemistry provides the raw materials for membranes. Lipids that spontaneously form bilayers. Proteins that punch selective holes. But organization decides how those membranes are used. How they're regulated. What they let through and what they block. A boundary without regulation is a trap, you seal yourself off and die. Regulation without a boundary is impossible, there's nothing to regulate. You need both. Working together. That's organizational, not just chemical. Paces slowly. This brings me to something I want you to hold on to. Life is not a substance. Life is a phase. We often talk about life as if it's a special material. Living matter versus dead matter. Like life is a property of stuff. It's not. Life is a regime of organization. A way that matter can be arranged and maintained. It's characterized by sustained constraint recycling, the thing keeps making copies of itself. Internal error correction, mistakes are detected and fixed. Regulated energy flow, power is extracted and deployed where needed. Heritable memory, information crosses generations. Scaffolded assembly, complex structures are built through staged, supported processes. This regime can only exist in certain chemical environments. You need the right chemistry for it to work. But life isn't defined by chemistry. Chemistry is the implementation. The regime is what matters. Stops at the board. Now here's a shift in perspective that matters. A lot of scientific effort goes into the question, how did life begin? How did the first replicator form? How did the first cell arise? What was the first metabolism? These are fascinating questions. I don't mean to dismiss them. But structurally, there's a harder question. Why did early organization not immediately collapse? Origins explain appearance. Persistence explains existence. The first living thing, whatever it was, wasn't just unlikely to form. It was unlikely to last. Most things don't last. Most organization collapses. most replication degrades. The miracle isn't that life appeared. The miracle is that it didn't immediately vanish. That's the question this whole framework is trying to answer. Not where life came from, but why it stuck around. What are the conditions under which organization can persist? Leans against the board. So, is life rare? Yes. Life appears rare because most chemistry fails to organize. Most organization fails to persist. Most replication fails to stabilize. The filters are brutal at every level. Chemistry that can't support organization is eliminated. Organization that can't persist is eliminated. Replication that can't stabilize is eliminated. Survivors are sparse. We look at the universe and see mostly dead matter because that's what survives by default. Organization is the exception. But here's the thing, life isn't improbable in the sense of being miraculous. Given sufficient space, time, and chemical richness, some structures will survive. Not because they're selected for. Not because they're designed. Just because they don't collapse. Life is what remains when organization works. It's not guaranteed. But it's not impossible. It's the edge case that makes it through the filters. Pauses. I want to be clear about something. This chapter doesn't define life. I'm not going to draw a bright line and say everything on this side is alive, everything on that side isn't. Definitions freeze boundaries too early. They pick a sharp edge where reality has a gradient. What I'm identifying is a structural transition. A threshold. When chemistry gets recruited into stable constraint recycling, when molecules start participating in patterns that copy themselves, correct errors, maintain boundaries, and regulate energy, you enter a new regime. Lifelike organization becomes possible. You're in the territory where the word of life starts to make sense. Where exactly you draw the line? Whether viruses count, whether prions count, whether hypothetical alternatives would count. Those are secondary questions. Interesting, but secondary. The transition is what matters. The regime shift is what this framework explains. Gathers notes. We're at another threshold now. Replication exists. Metabolism exists. Boundaries exist. But so far, we've been talking about relatively uniform systems. A replicator that copies itself. A metabolism that powers the replicator. A membrane that contains it all. What happens when replication starts to specialize? When different parts of an organization take on different roles? When there's division of labor? When you don't just have copies, but copies that do different things? That's hierarchy. That's where complexity really takes off. And eventually, though it's still many chapters away, that leads to intelligence. But we'll get there. Heads for the door. The closing line from your reading. Chemistry makes life possible, organization makes it last. That's the whole chapter. Chemistry is the substrate, the material, the implementation layer. Without the right chemistry, organization has nothing to work with. But chemistry doesn't make anything persist. Organization does that. The pattern that maintains itself, corrects itself, copies itself, regulates itself. Life isn't molecules. Life is what molecules can do when they're arranged just right. And just right is rare. But not impossible. And once it exists, it can copy itself. And then it spreads. Turns back at the door. 10. The real 10 this time. You know what's remarkable? We've gotten this far without invoking anything beyond physics and chemistry. No vital force. No special life essence. No magic. Just elimination. Just filters. Just the relentless question, can this persist? And somehow, out of that question, you get life. Not because the universe wants life. Because life is what remains when organization works. That's not a diminishment. That's a marvel. See you next week.